Welcome to Trapping Radio. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and we're going to be talking about coyote trap placement. This is one of those, I've got copious notes. I don't know if this will be a long show, a short show, a bad show, or a good show. I really don't know what kind of show this is going to be. I do think it could be highly confusing. It could be enlightening for some. It could be very frustrating for others. It's one of these things that I tell you what happened. I was actually doing legs, lifting weights, and I got a call in the middle of that. So I'm huffing and puffing. I try to control my breathing, and a gentleman's on the phone. We talk about some other stuff, and he's asking about trap placement. And he's seen several videos, and he noticed some are to the side, some are to the front, some are to the back, some are a 45 degree to the back. Sometimes there's two traps, three traps, one trap, and he's trying to figure out what my system is, and I try to explain it to him very quickly. I don't know if I really helped the gentleman or not, and I was just thinking maybe this would be a topic that I could thoroughly screw up on Trapping Radio with everybody listening. So that's what we're going to do today. And I've got a quote, and I want you to think about this. The successful warrior is the average man with laser focus. And that's from Bruce Lee. Everybody should know who Bruce Lee is. You know, he's a little bitty dude. He could whoop a bunch of people, apparently. And I want to change his quote to put this in a format for tonight's show. A successful trapper is an average trapper with laser focus. And the reason I say that is when you hear someone that's been doing this as long as I have with such a squirrely, hippy-dippy, kind of emotional, feely type way where I put my traps, it's very laser focused, and there's nothing above average about me when I'm doing it. So if you want to follow this confusing path with me on tonight's show, just be an average trapper to be successful with laser focus, and whatever you can pick up out of the night's chaotic show, I hope it helps you. Before we do that, I want to thank our sponsors. We have some of the best sponsors in the country for the simple fact that they are good people, they're honest people, they're dependable people. You don't have to worry about them trying to stiff you or take your money or not sending stuff out for 3 months just because, I don't know, they're eating Twinkies on the couch watching too much Netflix or something. That's not the way these guys are. They're all very dependable. They all have great prices. They all stand by what they sell. And I do business with every single one of them. So I know personally what this means. And the first one is F&T Fur Harvesters. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. And if you've never seen their catalog, you understand they're kind of like the Cabela's of trapping as far as the quality of their catalog and the information. Now, if you're looking for a catalog from me, I don't do that. I've got everything online, and they have everything in their catalog, the same as Funky Trap Tags and Supplies does. So if you're looking for my stuff in a catalog form, F&T or Funky is what you need to do. But I've known F&T for a long time. They allow me to do stuff on their TV show. Great guys to go visit. Probably going to go on up there, visit them again later or early this winter, delivering some stuff and hanging out with Jeff and playing with his dog and seeing what we get into. But just really good people. Our other one is Dunlap Lures, which is Jeff Dunlap. He makes really good lures. Him and his dad started this back in the 70s. He's my age, and he's been doing this forever, and he is a trapper's trapper's trapper. And he really, really, I'm trying to say how to say this without making other people mad. He respects lures instead of just a product to try to pawn off on people. So when he puts something out, you can rest assured it's good. And then we have Oki Cable and Trap. which is out of Oklahoma, Jeb. He's got a full line of trapping supplies. He's got all kind of stuff. A lot of times he has meat, glands. He's just a really good guy that is really fun to work with, very honest. Just good people. If you never tried Oki, give him a shot. You'll be glad that you did. And lastly, but not least, we have Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, which is out of Iowa. They're the ones that actually ship my product. That's how much I trust them. And they do a better job than I ever did, I can tell you that. But they're just super professional. They get the orders out almost every single day, just like most of my other sponsors do. And they have a full line of everything from trapping. They have the tags, the trap tags. They have deer stuff, hawk stuff, bear stuff, a lot of fishing stuff, predator calling stuff. Just really good people with a really good selection. And they're also the sponsor on Man Strong Podcast. So I want to say the quote again that I was saying before we get into this. And the reason I want to, it's not really a quote because I perverted it, but the reason I want to say this is I think a lot of times people that are just getting started or they're thinking they're not as successful as they should be, they find people that, you know, run their mouth a lot like me on Trapping Radio or do videos, or they see them at demos and they've read books of them and different things like that. And for some reason, they think that that is an above average trapper. And I've met a few that may qualify for that. I ain't one of them, but I've met a few that could qualify for that. But the guys that are successful have laser focus on what they're doing. It's as much mental as it is physical. And it's not just muscle memory and slamming in sets. There's like all this information that's being computed instantly before someone even gets out of the truck. Do they go put the trap in the ground? Do they come back and check? All this information is coming through their head, and we're going to go over some of that tonight. And they do things that make them seem more smart or more educated or a better connection with the animals or the land or something. But it's really just laser focus and paying attention to what they see day in, day out on the trap line. Laser focus. Now, another reason I want to do this show is, as confusing as it's probably going to be, the guys that are coming to our school, I hope you listen to this and you really pay attention to this so your brain can start kind of getting in this way of thinking when you're with me. So when we have our school into September up in Iowa with Jeff Dunlap, which is only, I think, 2 spots left, guys, if you want to come. That way, when you're with me, it won't come as such a brutal shock when you see me do 20 different things with 20 different sets. Because my trap placement is what I think, and through experience, what I've noticed animals doing, and it is not a repeatable set from set to set. It's not something you can copy, because every single time you put a set in, it's going to be at a different place where the ground's a little bit different and the surroundings are a little bit different, and it just won't work by trying to copy one to the other. You can a little bit, but it's something that you have to sit back and focus and try to look at things through the eye of a coyote or an animal that size that's, you know, kind of nervous, kind of hungry, kind of excited, not sure exactly what he's going to do. He doesn't want to get hurt. How is he going to react to what you're doing? That's what we're going to be talking about. And when I go over that for you guys at the school, I want this to be kind of like a pre thought process exercise, I guess, if that's even such a thing. So let's get to this. My question to anybody that's going to be setting traps, especially for coyotes: who is in charge? Is it you, or who, or what? if it's not you in control, then maybe you need to refocus on what you're doing. Because the way that I personally try to do trap location is where I'm in charge as much as possible at a set. I get it wrong a lot. The coyotes don't always do what I think they're going to do. Some coyotes are just different personalities. You know, some are aggressive, some are timid, some are nervous. All kind of different things. But over the years of me doing this, it's got me where I can pick locations. Not just a general location, but I'm talking a specific place to put a set where I think I've got better control of the situation than just doing, whatever formula someone has for a dirt hole. You put a dirt hole in, it's in front, 6 to 12 inches back, it's to the side, it's to the other side, it's whatever. I'm trying to pick where I'm in control. And it doesn't always work, but most of the time it does pretty dang good. Now, I want to start this off and try to, like I said, I'm going to try to not make this so confusing. So I want to start off with the bare basics of what a location can be. And I want you to think about a golf course. The green of a golf course. Not the rough, not the tree line, but the green where you do the putting, where the grass is, I don't know, half inch thick and it's perfectly manicured and it's mostly flat or semi-flat. But it's just a homogeneous half inch grass over an area. And we're going to put a set in the green, which I do not recommend because golf courses will get very pissed at you if you start doing that. But let's say we found a golf course that wanted us to set in the green. What would be going through yours or my mind? Well, if you do a more of a standard way of putting a set in, you're going to have a formula in your head, whatever that could be. And we're going to say dirt holes. So you're going to dig a dirt hole, whether you use a small hole, a medium hole, big hole, badger hole, whatever it's going to be. You're going to dig a hole. And then you're going to put a trap placement, because think about a golf course green. There's nothing there. It's like paint. Nothing there. So a coyote has a 360 degree way to get at your set. Now, I know you can think, well, it's going to be the wind. What if it's a nervous coyote and it's going to get upwind and then come in from it that way? Or it's going to circle and it's going to get a big circle and it's going to start circling a little bit closer as it gets its nerve up. How is the coyote going to come at a dirt hole in a golf course green? Who the hell knows? Now you can go, well, this is the front of the trap, the front of the set, so this is where I'm going to put the trap. Is that how the coyote sees it? If so, you haven't really looked at a whole lot of night vision or trail cam footage, which it's all over the place now. They have a mind completely of their own. And the more green-like, like a golf course green that you give this coyote, the more control he has and the less control you have, because you don't have anything to do with what the coyote's doing when you're at home in bed. It's just doing its thing, and there's nothing there but a little bitty short grass, and you're hoping that he's going to figure out where you want the front of the set to be and where you're going to get him to step. And if you do put trail cameras on sets like this, and you get 8 or 10 different coyotes over a course of time coming up, you're going to probably get 8 or 10 different ways they're going to work this set. Some's going to be to the front, the side, on angles. Someone's going to be low crawling, rolling. They're going to be doing all kinds of stuff that when the trapper's making the set is not in his mind. Well, the dirt hole's on an angle, so he's got to stand here to look down a dirt hole. Well, I hate to bust anybody's bubble out there that believes that, guys, but a coyote's got a neck that can turn just like you and me, and I've seen them several times standing off to the side of a dirt hole that's 45 degree and just turn their little head and look down the hole. Their feet didn't have anything to do with what their head was doing. None. You can say, well, I'm going to have a little bitty recess spot right over the pan, just about a quarter inch. I've seen this at demos for years. It's the secret. Well, have you ever really just tracked a coyote? They step on high ground, level ground, low ground. It makes no difference to them whatsoever. I know it sounds good, like you're going to guide his foot in there. But we're talking real life now. We're not talking trying to sell a lure out of demo. We're talking what happens in with coyotes. Go to a road after a rain that has coyotes and just watch everywhere the coyote steps. And after a little bit, if you're being honest with yourself, you're going to go, they stepped on that stick. They stepped in that low ground. They stepped on this high ground. They stepped on that high ground. They stepped on this middle ground. They stepped in that low ground. They stuck on that stick again. And there's no consistency. So what are you going to do as a trapper in a golf course green setting to have any control over the situation of how the coyote's going to react? My thinking is none. I don't care what kind of set you put in. The coyote doesn't either. He can do whatever he wants to do, and he's going to do it. Now, how you think your set should work, the coyote hadn't read that book. He hadn't been to that demo or watched that video. He hadn't studied YouTube to see what a coyote's supposed to do. He has no idea. So he just does what he wants to do. So I'm using the golf course green as an example because that is the flattest, generic, monotonous thing that I can come up with. If I had to sit in that location, I would sit there. But I would probably use three traps because that's the only way I can get control back into the situation. At least I've got three directions covered if I do that. And if you study the old woofers, you'll find out when they sit on flat ground, because most of them are out west and they didn't have grass to deal with, they used multiple traps just for this reason. And I know a lot of modern guys today say that that's a waste of traps and you should know what you're doing and this, that, and the other. The problem is the coyote's never in this situation when someone's talking about it. It's always the trapper. Well, you ain't catching you. You're trying to catch the coyote. So on a golf course green setting, it's just up in the air, hope and pray, and it's about as good as you're going to get with hope and change from Obama. Very, very little, low results. Now, you may not know you miss coyotes in a green like that because they can walk on the grass and you don't know it. Trail cameras will educate you. So, if that's not the best way, then you can probably guess very short cut fields that are just monotonous and plain in grass is probably not where I'm looking to put traps, and you are correct. Now, sometimes that's all you have. I've set sod farms in Maryland with Randy for Red Fox, and that's the only option you got. But it's not the best. But I think a lot of people go to that because it looks like it's good because it stands out and everything, but for control, who's in control? It's not you when you set like this. So that's open ground. Now we have, if you've ever been in the woods, if you're listening to this program, I pray to goodness you have been, and you've got an open field that the frost has already hit and there's grass clumps and there's stuff laid over and the grass is uneven and the grass is different heights. Now we're getting into more of, it's getting better. See, one thing I've noticed when I've been around places that are really cut close in agricultural areas where there are what they call erosion strips, they let it kind of grow up and the frost kills it, I'd much rather sit there than I would in the little cute grass next to it. So kind of think of something like that. Why is that? We have texture. Not a lot of texture, but we do have texture. So we're gaining in control the more texture we have at a set. So it's more. Okay, why is that important? Well, coyotes are probably not gonna step right on the top of a knockdown, frost-killed grass hump. They'd have to step, you know, 6, 8, 10 inches up in the air and try to balance and just get ugly. So they're probably not gonna do that. They're gonna go around a grass clump if they need to. See, now we got a little bit of control. So let's say, for example, just to keep this super simple, and guys going to the school, I want you to start looking around, go out a few times before you come to the school and kind of play around with what I'm saying so your mind is in this place when we're going out on the line. Because trust me, it'll still be confusing, but once you see this several times, your brain's going to start lighting up on this. Let's say that we have this clear grass field that the frost has killed it, and you got humps and stuff and different things. Think about the difference of the way an average trap set is made in a book. You go up to one of these grass clumps and you dig a hole in the front. Then you put your trap out in front of that where it's flatter and leveler, more like the golf course green. Because you want to have that backing, right? That's what we've all been taught. Is that the best way to use the grass clump? If you're going to focus on how the coyote's going to react to a situation and actually move through an area, I would say it's probably not. Because unless the coyote's going to climb up on a grass clump, which I'm sure it does happen, but it's probably not as common, wouldn't you rather use that grass clump if you know he's got to go around it to guide that animal to where your trap's at, to get to where your lure and bait's at? So to make this super simple, let's say that we have two grass clumps that are about 6 inches apart. Because that's common, you see that all the time, right? You know, it can be something like what we call buffalo grass that turns real brown, and it kind of has a tall grass base and has these shoots that come up about 3 or 4 feet, and it's brown and wavy, kind of looks like grain from a distance. That's what we call it. I don't know if that's what it is, but I'm sure you can kind of picture in your mind what I'm talking about. Let's say we got two of those that are 6, 7 inches apart. Well, if they're not going to walk on top of that, and they're going to be around messing with a set, see, we've just taken two complete areas away from that coyote where he's probably going to use it. So if you've got a trail coming up, a travel way of a coyote, you got your coyote tracks or scat, or you just have this gut feeling that that's where a coyote's going, and off to the side, instead of putting the dirt hole in front of the thing where you have no control, what if you put the dirt hole back about 8 to 10, 12 inches in between the grass clumps? So the dirt hole is not really up against the backing. If there's something there, sure, go ahead and use it. But say you got, just think about, you got two footballs sitting 6 inches apart, and you're going to go through those with your arm, and you're going to dig a hole 12 inches back there. Now, see, here's what gets interesting when you start thinking in kind of the way that I'm going to be teaching at the school. The coyote may or may not go between those two grass clumps, because between those two grass clumps is where I'm putting the trap, because I've got some control there. Out in the open, I don't have much control. But let's say he doesn't go through. I mean, some of them will definitely go through between the grass clumps because they're coming off the trail. They see it. You've got the wind right. You know, Odin's looking out for you from Valhalla, and everything's going to be doing good on your trap line. He's just going to walk straight. You're going to catch him. And it's almost like a blind set with a dirt hole added to it between those two grass clumps. You catch him, everything worked out fine. Let's say he doesn't do what you expect him to do, and he does more of the time with what they're gonna do. They smell the lure, and they get off the travel way, and they go to cover, and they check things out, and they're gonna end up coming back from behind your set. Follow me? Now, for him to go back on the trail, and he's working behind your set, you have at least a 50-50 shot, I guess you would say, of him walking between those grass clumps and getting caught. So I've got a little bit more control, even if he's working the set from the back. See, I told you this was going to be as confusing. It's confusing as listening to the Democrat Party talking about how much they love the Constitution in America. But I'm trying my best not to BS you like they are. Now, let's pretend that we've got three grass clumps next to a trail. Wind's coming from the grass clumps to the travel way of the coyote. I look over, and there's all this really, you know, homogeneous, nothing going on, but they've got these three grass clumps that I see. I may look at that and go, I could put a trap between, you know, you got one in the middle and then two on the outside. I may put a trap between both of those and put a dirt hole behind it, or a flat set, or a bone, or a turtle shell, whatever it is. See, when I find that extra texture, I start gaining more control. Now let's confuse this even more. Let's say we have a road, they've been bush hogging, you got these grass clumps, frost has killed it, you see coyote tracks on the road, and then you see three or four, five, six, all these clumps of grass out through there. Man, they're pretty close together because that's the way, you know, stuff like that grows. It's not cut like it's in a lawn. And I can look at those and I can go, well, if the coyote comes from the trail, I'm assuming he's probably going to come here, and I can put a trap there and guard it the way we're just talking about. Now, what if he comes from the cover on the back, or he's circling it from the back? Well, I still have these little bitty indentions between the higher grass that I can block or choose to set the trap at if I choose to, and have the lure actually in between the traps. Now, I've just gained the front door and the back door, or at least I've cut down the amount of travel that this cow can do. See, that's very different than trying to just put a trap on very flat ground with low grass on a golf course green. Now, what if we've got an open ground that's been set for a while, and you've got little bushes coming up, and you've got little trees coming up, or crops, and say like corn, because I've done this set a ton, let me tell you, it's deadly. I can go in like a foot into the corn, like the first or second row over, especially if I'm on the corner, and I can blow out this really big dirt hole and throw all this crap and just tear the world up in front of it and make it rough and nasty and ugly, dig a couple extra holes, just make it look like someone threw a miniature grenade down there. But on the edge, kind of like where the coyotes are probably going to be anyway, backed up against that corner, I can drop in a trap and blend it in between the corn stubble. And as he's checking out all that mess, you got him. See, I'm using the corn, same way I use the grass clumps. If they were bushes, I could use the bushes the same way. It could be a bush on one side, it could be a grass clump on the other side, it could be however you want to think of it to be. Basically, what I'm doing is trail setting with a dirt hole. That's the way that I do my dirt holes. Or I try to pick places and ways to get that coyote to kind of be forced to pick one or two different ways to actually work the set. The more texture, the better it gets. Now you want to be close to the travel way, you want to be where the wind's blowing to the travel, all that stuff stays the same. But you want to use as much texture in it, and trust me, when you first go out and start doing this, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. But see, that's what actually allows somebody with focus to become a better trapper. You learn from that. It's not a failure. It's a heck of a good education. And you go, well, they're obviously not doing what I think they're doing here. Let me try this. He dug the hole out, but he didn't come through here. Maybe he's coming over here. I wonder why he's coming over here. And that information gets dumped in that little brain you've got that's a computer, and you start processing all this stuff over and over and over again, and you start seeing patterns. And the more patterns you see, the quicker you recognize them and the easier it is to work. Now, what about with open ground, with trails, or what could be trails? Have you ever just been out in fields and you kind of look around? It's not really trails, but if an animal's going to walk through here, that's the way he's going to walk. It's just the way that the grass is laying. It's the way that the bushes are. It's not really a game trail, but if you were you know, a 6-inch tall human walking through there, that's where you would go. That's where the coyote's probably going to be most of the time to work your set, if you use the structure around there to get him where you want him to be. Then this is where I'm going to be different from a lot of quote coyote trappers. I will admit, and I've had friends tell me this, that if I'm coyote trapping, there's a cat in the area, I will catch the cat. This is true. And subconsciously, I'm probably thinking about cats, even though I'm thinking about coyotes, and that's just the way it is. So I don't go out very often unless there's structure for me to use to guide a coyote out in a clear-cut field like a golf course if I've got texture on the wood line. Now, there's a problem or an issue with what I'm getting ready to tell you to do. You will catch more possums and skunks doing what I'm getting ready to say. But I also know from experience, you will catch more coyotes if you do what I'm getting ready to say. So it's just a fact of life. So if there's an open field and there's structure right on the edge, because that's where the sun hits it and stuff grows up and different things like that, I'm going to first try to find a way to control the coyote in that structure right on the edge, because nothing's ever perfectly straight and square in nature. And I'm going to use that to control the coyote instead of going 15 feet out in the field and just plopping in a dirt hole with a premeditated trap placement. Now we're talking about how Clint traps. I'm not saying the other ways don't work. I'm just saying over the years, this is what my little brain has evolved to when it comes to coyote trapping. So if I go over to the edge and it's thick with blackberries and brambles, but there's just a little bit of opening going in that a coyote could easily fit into, well, hell, I'm not going to put the dirt hole right on the open ground. I'm going to lean back in there and put the dirt hole inside of that and blend the trap in. And the only way the coyote can really get there is through and over the trap. See, it's very different from what I'm talking about. Or it could be You've got some bushes that are just in different, you know, designs of where they're coming up. And I'm going to sit there, and it won't take me very long, but I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to go, well, if I put a set here, coyote's going to either come here or here. If I'm doing control work, I'm going to set two traps. If I'm doing fur work, I may or may not set two traps. But I'm going to let the ground and the structure and the texture tell me where to put the trap. I've got to, like, in my mind's eye, as goofy as this sounds, pretend I know and think and can imaginarily see how a cow's going to work the set. And then when I see that, I run with it. I absolutely run with it. Let's say that you've got a very strict edge line that's been cut with a tractor very regularly, and there's a bush or right on, it comes out to a little bit of point, and there's some opening behind a bush or a tree, then it gets thick again. Well, you better believe that's where my trap's going, is in the tightest place of where that is, and then I'm going to put a set somewhere behind that on either side, not on the open side, but the other side. Because a cow pretty much has to go where the ground lets him go. Unless he's going to fight and fight and fight to get to it, and some of them probably do that, but most won't. So the edges are something that I'm looking for. There's more life on the edge. The coyote knows that's where his food's going to be. He's going to be more open to stop and smell, because that's where the bunnies are going to be leaving scent, and bird feathers are going to drop, and the mice are going to be taking a crap, and all this other stuff. It's going to be on that edge. Not really 15 feet out in the middle of nothing. But this is my personal way of looking at it. You may decide that this is the wrong way for you to go, which is fine. Now, what about elevations, draws, and big humps? See, the texture's getting bigger. A draw, depending on the size, it's got edges at the top most of the time. It's got little trails coming down into them. It's got trails in the bottom. It's got vegetation on top. It's got vegetation on the bottom. I've got lots of texture to sit back and go, oh, I put a set here. The coyote's pretty much got to come through here to get to it. Elevation. If you've ever been someone that's got really, like, think of a high riverbank, and you put a set where you actually put your lure and bait out, like, over the water, where you just reach over and kind of shove a hole and pack it full of bait and lure, how can the coyote get to it any other way except the closest point at the edge? If you don't think this works, go look at some Craig O'Gorman books. He's got them hanging off cliffs all over Montana. See, I can use the elevation difference to catch coyotes. I can use draws and different sinkholes to catch coyotes, because I'm using my imagination and focusing on how a coyote's going to have to go to that set. Big humps. If you go to a big natural where someone's dumped a lot of dirt over the years, or it's just a national hump where the erosion, dude, it's almost always going to be open right at the bottom of it. And you always need to check on top for coyote sign. How are they getting up there? What are they doing when they're up there? What if you put it, instead of putting it on the open side of the field, you kind of put it a couple of foot back and blow it out, but you've got, like, out in the west, you got the sagebrush growing up, and that's really the only way he can do is hug that hump between the sagebrush to get to your dirt hole. You got a trap there. Well, you could just call it a coyote. I use the texture. When you're thinking about coyotes, guys, think of them. Most people think of them as this great big, aggressive, dominant, werewolf-like predator. And that's not really how a coyote works. Yes, they kill stuff. But they're also very skittish and they're very sneaky. So when I'm looking at texture, I'm in my mind's eye thinking, how is the sneaky coyote gonna come up and get my stuff out? And I'm gonna try to block that off with a trap. A lot of times, if it's obvious how a coyote, if this the way the ground lays and he can go a couple of feet behind it and come up back onto the set, I'll blow out a big dirt hole and I won't even put a trap in front of the dirt hole. But I'll catch more coyotes on that backside sneaking in than I will on the trap up front, because that's the way coyotes are. I use the texture. Let's see. Think about the ease of working the set, and not in the way that you see in demos, like where someone will put a pebble down there and think they're going to guide a coyote. Well, if that's the case, you could throw the pebble 15 foot away and guide the coyote over there. But see, no one thinks that's going to work, but somehow they think a pebble next to a set is going to make a difference to a 40 pound animal that stands 2.5 foot at the shoulder. Doesn't care. Little bitty stick's not going to bother a coyote. But when you use stuff that's naturally there, bushes, trees, clumps, rocks, grass humps, stuff like that, you can just weave them where you want them to go a lot of times. You gotta have imagination. For some people, I know this is not easy, because in your mind, just like in every skill set in modern day America, people want to have the answer. They want to have the expert tell them everything that they need to know about X. Guys, we're dealing with wild animals in different terrain, with different temperatures, different times of the year, and there is no know-it-all. There isn't. But that's the way we're taught in school. Why is 2 plus 2 4? Because we've been told it's 4. Why do you spell there like there's a tree and it's their truck? Why do you spell it different? Because you've been told that. And it's never questioned. And that's the way that we're taught today to think about everything. But the problem with that is when you get out of the academic world or out of a demo area or away from YouTube, you find out that it doesn't really work the way that it's just supposed to. If it was, everybody could go out and catch 500 coyotes the first year they trapped. Everybody could at least catch 100, for goodness sakes, before work. Everybody would be able to go out and catch a boatload of fish every time they go if they watch enough YouTube videos. I can tell you, I've watched all kind of YouTube videos since I moved to the lake. I still suck at it. So it's not just the information. It's the whole process. That there's no way that an expert can tell you A, B, and C equals D. Not when you're dealing with wild animals, and not when you're dealing out in the woods. So you got to be able to use your imagination. For some people, I know that's easier. Some people are more creative, or as psychologists would say, more liberal. I'm very liberal when it comes to my creativity. And then there's some people that's very conservative and they're very much rule followers, and that is not me. So you're looking for rules to follow and to not look at things in situation of rules is can be very hard. I do understand that. Me and my wife are very different in this term. She's very conservative minded from a psychologist's point of view, and I'm very liberal minded from a psychologist's point of view. I'm creative, I'm imaginative, I don't like rules, don't want to follow rules. She loves rules. She loves knowing all the information. She wants to have everything locked down tight before a decision's made. We're just different. And I guarantee you there's people listening to me right now that'll fall on Cindy's side. So maybe going out and playing around, which we're going to talk about how you can test this, you can open up that creativity and the imagination that you had as a kid before it's beat out of you in school, and you can actually look at the world in more of an imagination way. And then when you see this texture, you can start putting this little story together in your mind about how this is going to work. And the more you do it, lo and behold, the better you get. How do we test this? This is great fun if you've never done this. This is really, really fun. Before you know it's going to rain, go pick some places that have some bare soil but has texture. Grass clumps, different things like that. You know, once the first frost comes and maybe you're not really open into the season yet, or better yet, snow. Places that have sand. If it's just grass and leaves, like in West Virginia, guys, y'all going to have a harder time with this. You may have to actually bring some sifted dirt with you to be able to see what you're doing. I get it's not as easy everywhere. But you can test these things out. Go places that you're not going to trap, that you've never set a trap, that you don't have any bias of where a good set location is and a bad set location is. You have no experience. Something like, I don't know, a national park or state park. Especially it'd be really cool if you could go somewhere that there's just not a lot of people. And pick you out some places, find some coyote sign, pick out some places, look at it, use your imagination, put a set in with lure. If there's no way to see the tracks, go sift some dirt and sift it in there in between the structure and the texture, and come back in about a week before the next big rain comes and watch what the coyote did and didn't do. See, I wish more people would do this in places, you know, like especially in Alabama and Georgia, Florida, Texas, places like that have places where, you know, there's a lot of erosion and you got this silty stuff that covers roads and corners of fields and stuff. Go put you some regular trap sets out with a dirt hole, and I want you to be honest and write it down where your trap would be, then go back and look at where the tracks are at. And most of the time you'll be scratching your head in an open set, because you'll have different tracks from different size coyotes that are doing completely different things. But if you go to somewhere where there's texture, where you can see, or you sift some sand or some dirt down in there, not flour or something that's going to stand out crazy, but put your set in without a trap. Just take some lure and bait with you. And just see if your imagination was telling you the truth. And you're going to be going, holy cow, I'd have caught that thing the first night. Oh my gosh, I'd have caught two coyotes here if I had two traps here. Well, he didn't go anywhere I thought he was going to go. Let me reevaluate this and try this in a different way. Re-lure it. Resift it if you have to, and watch what it does. It's a super simple way to learn. Now, so if you're coming to the school, guys, students, talking to you right now, take a little bit of time to do what I'm telling you to do. You know, 15, 20 mock sets. Using structure to guide animals to your set. Not an open area. And then see what you learn. Because by the time you get to the school, we can refine this over and over and over again. So when you step back in a new area that you've never been, all of a sudden you're going to see the world in a totally different way than you did before. And the reason I want you as a student to do this a little bit early is so your brain can start working this way, like I said. There's other structures that you can play with. Well, you got dry ground and muddy ground. After you notice some things with mud and dry, like on roads, you know, because they're not perfectly flat in the woods or farm trails, you'll be able from 50 feet away, if there's coyotes going down that road, to tell exactly where the coyote's going to be. Check it out. If you've got water, how can you use that water to catch coyotes? A lot of structure around water. A lot of coyotes around water. Creeks, ponds, rivers, swamps. See, a simple way is, if you just think about it, beaver dam going through a beaver swamp, a coyote's crossing it, he's going to be on the beaver dam, right? What if it's more open than that? And then you start looking at the structure, the brambles, the fallen trees, all that type stuff. And then you look at it, then you go try to find sign on it. It's great fun. Kids love it. I do this all the time. I'll see something, I go look. I did this actually at the end of our driveway. There's some land over there. And one night I saw a red fox shoot across the road. I kind of knew where he'd come out at, so I went over there. I sat back about 20, 30 feet away. I studied it for just a few seconds, and I go, I bet the fox was coming through here. Lo and behold, because I've done this so much, there's fox tracks there. So muddy, dry water, it's texture to use. A road edge, a drop-off, culverts. Just like Craig sets the lure over the edge of a canyon to catch coyotes, you can do that on a sharp cut road. Drop-offs, you ever seen where a great big old tree's been ripped out of the ground? It's all muddy and nasty in there. It's kind of dry on the top side. Use some structure to try to get the coyote between something to actually to reach over and put your bait in lure. Killer set. Culverts. Coyote's coming down a road and you shove a beaver up in a culvert or smear a lure in the top of the culvert. He's going to smell that. How is he going to get down to the culvert? Because he'll spend a lot more time up on the road figuring out if he wants to go down there for something worth his time than he will just jump off there and go down there. Dogs will just go straight to the bottom. It's one of the reasons I like this set, because you hardly ever catch dogs. And the dogs will be down in the culverts, you know, mauling around in a beaver carcass. You can use culverts the same way from the top side. Think about if a coyote is very antsy, how is he going to get from cover to the set? Use the texture to guide him. Circling sets, coyotes do it. It doesn't matter whose lure you do, it's the personality of the coyote. One of the sets I've used for years, if you're coming to the school, please remind me to show y'all this, is I'll put a dirt hole, I'm talking about a big dirt hole, in more of a open, flat area that I tell you not to put a trap. But I'm using texture 3, 4, 5 feet away from that to go over and put a very small flat set with a trap. The trap could be 5 foot away from the dirt hole. Behind the dirt hole. Nails coyotes. But see, I'm using the texture, I'm using the trap as the set as a decoy. I'm using the habits of circling and the texture to narrow down where the coyote's going to be. Elevation at a set, huge in trap placement. If you're on the side of the road and you put in a dirt hole at the edge, and it starts, you know, where the road graders kind of flip dirt over, and you're going to set it where it's just flat up in on the road. Most coyotes are going to be on that elevation. If there's a 1 inch difference between one left or right side of your hole, I'm going to put it on the highest elevation right there within reason. You know, if it's less than a foot, I'm putting it there. Because if you pay attention at your sets, that's where your coyotes are going to be most of the time. They can see and smell better and look around from more elevation than they can down low. Is the wind important? Yes. Maybe. The reason I say this, this is where I think a lot of guys get confused with wind. If you've got a trail that's running north and south, to make this super simple, and the wind is blowing from the west to the east, you want to put your set on the west side of the trail so it blows across the trail. And that'll get the coyote's attention. Once the coyote gets close to your set, all bets are off on how he's going to react. Most of the time, if you actually look at tracks, it's not just I smell it and it's a direct line to your set. Most of the time, that is not the case. That's where this texture becomes important. The wind crosses his path, gets his attention, he starts looking around, and then he's going to figure out how he's going to work that set. I think a lot of trappers believe that if the wind is blowing on a perfect east and west, the coyote's going to always come completely up to the set from the eastern side, going to their nose into the wind of the west. That's just not reality. That's why I think texture is so important. There's all kind of things to use that are texture. I've talked about using old rig pipes before. I've caught them on cars, old cars like in around junkyards. Stumps are great structure. They're not going to probably stand up on a big old rotten stump with points sticking out of it. So you know they got to go around it so you can kind of figure out what they're going to do. You got down timber. You got all kind of opportunities with down timber. You may even can do a little bit of trimming to even make it where it's near impossible for them to go anywhere except where you want them to get to the set. Now, I know a lot of people go, you can't crowd a coyote. And I'm here to tell you that is bullshit. Coyotes don't need open ground. They hunt in the thickest crap when they're chasing a rabbit. And how do I know this? Because you have to be careful when you skin them in Texas or you will run cactus thorns all into your hands. They get in cover because that's where their prey is going to run. That's where they're used to killing stuff. It's not out in the open, beautiful African plains. It's cover. They got to go in and kill it because a rabbit is, that's where he's going to try to run into. The mouse is going to run to cover. That's where they're used to killing and eating. So if you give them something, they're not worried about it. I've heard people say they got to be able to see over the backing. Well, I would like someone to explain to me all the hundreds of coyotes I've caught off of great big 5 foot hay bales. They couldn't see over that for nothing. Or down timber where it's 3 foot at the base. But there was just a way with some texture and the way a few limbs fell and a couple of bushes where if I put it right here, they got to go around that edge to get caught. They don't care that cover's there. So we're at the end of the notes. I've probably done a very bad job of trying to explain this because it's different everywhere, every single time. I make a joke when I'm doing demos. It's hippie trapping. It's by feeling. That's what it is, really. The more you do it, the better you get at it. I understand why a first-year trapper was trying to figure out, is the trap 9 inches back and 4 inches to the right? They're just trying to figure something out. And I totally get that. And I'm not putting anybody down that traps that way. But over time, shouldn't a trapper evolve to be more of a trapper of an animal than of a set? I hope so. Because if not, the best options you ever have is to go maybe 10 inches instead of 9 inches, maybe 3 inches to the left or right instead of 5. Maybe it should be dead center and 12 inches back, or maybe it should be touching the hole. See, that's the only options you got at that point. It's just playing with the formula. That the coyotes don't know that they're supposed to be doing anyway. But when you use texture, where they're naturally going to be doing something to work your set, you have a better chance of being on target once you kind of do go through this process and learn it. And if you want to know where I put the coyote trap, it's actually where I think the coyote's going to be according to the structure. So go play out in the woods, practice, get better at it, learn, fail, grow. Have that focus, because even an average trapper can be an amazing trapper when he's got laser focus.